we're explaining the concept of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And we said that somehow, this which we'll explain tonight, saying Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros acts as making yourself a sacrifice on Rosh Hashanah. That's the motif of Rosh Hashanah. Every Yontif, we bring the thing that we're being judged on as a sacrifice. On Rosh Hashanah, we should bring ourselves, since we're being judged, in general, our lives, as a sacrifice. So the Rebbeinu Shem gave us a way to do that by saying, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And we explained last week what that is exactly. And we explained last week what Malchios is. Malchios is basically not accepting God's authority, as we do the whole year, which is Kabbalah's Omach Hushamayim, but making the statement that I want God to be my king, coronating God as the king, accepting him for another year as the king, giving him the job for another year, right? We want you to be our king. And last week we explained the benefits of having a king and what the Rebbeinu Shem benefits us as being a king, why we should want him. Okay. Next is Zichronos. Zichronos is usually translated that we want God to remember the good things about us. But we said that that's not what it says. It doesn't say remember the good things. It says all our remembrance should be for the good. Now, how could that be? There's a lot of bad things that can't be for the good. So what does it mean? So, and also, how does the Rebbeinu Shem remember anything? Remembering means you could forget, but you remember. If you can't forget, then there's no remembering. Right? The Gemara says that it doesn't say remembering by Yitzchak, because when Avraham brought the isle in place of Yitzchak, it's mamish like Yitzchak was sacrificed, and his ashes are there before God. So you don't have to remember anything. They're there. You see them. You only remember something you could have forgotten, but something is standing there in front of you, you don't remember. So how does God remember? If God can't forget, then how can the whole concept of remembering be applicable to him? So there basically is two kinds of forgetting. One kind of forgetting is where you forget something because of the passage of time or because you're weak mind or whatever. There's another kind of forgetting that has nothing to do with the passage of time or the weakness of your mind. It means, for instance, if I said something and you didn't hear it, and you said, could you repeat that? And I said, no, forget it. Now that seems absurd, because if you didn't hear it, you can't forget what you didn't hear. What do I mean, forget it? It's not important. Don't consider it. That's also called forgetting. Forget about it. Okay? So it doesn't mean you're forgetting something you knew because of the passage of time. It means you're not considering something. When before man was created, the Rebbeinu Shlom asked the angels whether he should create man. And the Medrash says that the angels answered, Ma enosh ki siskerenu. What's man that you should remember him? Now it can't mean remember him because God didn't create him yet. You can't remember something he didn't create. What it means is, what's man that you should consider him? Don't even consider him. Don't bring him up in your mind. Just forget about him. But God didn't listen to the angels, and he created man. That means he considered us important enough to consider. That happened on Rosh Hashanah, the day that man was created. So every Rosh Hashanah we're reminded that the Rebbeinu Shem considers us important, that he does consider us, that he doesn't just forget about us. And everything we do is important. And that's what it means. Shiyalu Zichron, we should realize that all of the memories, meaning all the fact that the Rebbeinu Shem considers us, everything about us is letova, not good. Tova, as we've explained in the past, I'm not going to go into it now, but tova means something that's substantial. And the more substantial it is, the more it exists, the more it continues to exist, the more tov it is. Vayar Elokim ki tov. God saw that it can continue to exist. That's how the Ramban learns those words. Not that he saw it was good. He saw, he creates things by bringing them into being by speaking, and he looks at them and gives them the ability to continue to exist. Hodul Hashem ki tov, ki li'olam chasdo. God is good because he is eternal. Good means substantial. The more eternal, the more substantial. Things that are lies, that are bad, don't really exist. So therefore, they're not substantial. So tov is chayim, is life, is existence. And the more existence, the more tov. Okay. Therefore,
what is that to do with Noah? I understand the concept that he the first one paid attention to Noah.
Right.
But why was that different from Noah? And what does that have to do with
Noah? No, because you see that the Rabbanu Shalom, even at the time when people were being destroyed, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to preserve mankind. They're important enough to consider and save Noah in order to start the world again. So that's a prime idea of Zichronos, is that we're important. And that is the whole concept. The whole world was created for man. And Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah itself represents this idea. Because if we weren't important, why would God waste 2 days of his year, right, considering what we ate last year, what we thought, what we spoke, what we did, how we dressed? Who cares? Would you, right, if you had a cat, would you spend 2 days, right, reviewing the life of the cat last year, how it meowed, how it kept its paws clean? Who cares? What it ate, right? It's not important enough. But, and the distance between you and your cat is nothing compared to the distance between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yet the Ribbono Shel Olam considers everything we did and spends 2 days reviewing it and judging it. It must be important. It's the most important thing because the whole universe depends on us. And so Rosh Hashanah itself represents the importance of that, that God is willing to judge us for all these seemingly menial things, unimportant things. They're important, and everything we do is important. Everything we think is important. Everything we say is important. Right, one way or the other. And the shofar, I think, represents that also, two ways. So the shofar somehow conveys this idea of Zichronos. How so? The shofar, first of all, is the remembrance of Akedas Yitzchak, which means that Yitzchak Avinu, if God had carried through what Avram thought was the mitzvah, Yitzchak would have been a sacrifice. What could have been greater than that, dying al Kiddush Hashem, in order to fulfill God's command and to be a sacrifice to God, a human sacrifice? Nothing could be greater than that. The answer is that there is something greater than that, because God stopped it. And he chose that the idol should be sacrificed, and Yitzchak should continue to live. That shows that living al Kiddush Hashem is greater than dying al Kiddush Hashem. So that's the shofar as a remembrance of Akedas Yitzchak reminds us that our lives are very important, more even important than dying al Kiddush Hashem. And another way I think that the shofar represents that, the shofar represents the world, the universe, because it is the crown of the animal kingdom, the crown on top of the animal. The world consists of three levels: mineral, vegetable, animal. The mineral is ingested by the vegetable. The vegetable is ingested by the animal. So the animal contains in it animal, vegetable, mineral. And the crown of the animal is the shofar. And not only that, the shofar has in it all three ideas. It's calcium, which is mineral. It looks like a little tree on top of the animal, so it has a hint of vegetable. And it's part of the animal. So it has animal, vegetable, mineral. But the shofar is hollow. It's really insignificant. Except when a person puts his neshama into it, blows his breath, his life into it, then the shofar, which is the world, is transformed into something that connects us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So man makes the world important. That's what the shofar also represents. Yeah?
Rabbi, why then do they take the horn of a sheep?
What is a ram. Which is because it's that. The ram reminds us of Akedas Yitzchak. That was the ram that was sacrificed in place of Yitzchak. So it has that double idea. Beyond that, moose does not have hollow horns. That's called a karen. That's not a shofar. Theoretically, there are other animals that you could use their horns. Not deer. Deer horns are not hollow. But there are other horns that are hollow. Goat has horns that are hollow. Sheep, right? But a ram, what's it called, is used because only a minute to use a ram. The Tehmanim use, they have different horns. They use gazelle, in any case. But we use a ram horn to remember Akedas Yitzchak. Okay, now, that's Zichronos. So now we have what Malchios is, what Zichronos. Malchios is, God, I want you to be my king, you're important to me. Zichronos is recognizing how important we are to God. What's Shofros? Shofar was blown throughout history whenever God revealed himself to man and had an interaction with us. When the Torah was given, the shofar was blown. Mashiach comes, the shofar will be blown. Tchias HaMeitim, the shofar, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. All these interactions between God and man are accompanied by the shofar, which represent that connection, Gilui Shchina. So the shofar represents, I now know how important God is to me. I understand how important I am to God. Now what's the relationship between us? So the shofar represents that relationship, which has to do with all the historical times where the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created that relationship, by the Torah, by the Nevi'im. The voice of the Nevi'im is compared to a shofar, by the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, by the Geula, by Mashiach, all these various times in history where God interacts and shows us what our relationship is represented by the shofar. So, and that is really a representative of a connection. We blow from the narrow side, and God hears from the other side. It's like a communicator with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It ties us to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the shofar. And our Meitzar Karosi Ka, Anoni Bamerchav Ka. The Sfarim say that applies to the shofar. Okay, now that we know what Malchios Zichronos Shofros is, you can understand how that's making yourself a sacrifice to God. What does it mean to be a sacrifice to God? That you totally submit yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You hand yourself over to God. Right? I am submitting myself, subjugating myself totally to God. In order for a person to submit himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he has to know three things. He has to know who he is, what he's submitting. I'm submitting me to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who am I? What do I have to submit? Okay, so you have to know yourself. Who am I submitting it to? To God. Who's God? You have to know who God is. And how am I submitting myself? Jumping up in the air, how do I hand myself over to God? What does that mean? So you have to know what the relationship is. Those are Malchios, the Zichronos and Shofros. Malchios tell you to whom you're submitting yourself. Zichronos tell you how what you're submitting, who you are, and Shofros tell you how to do it. So that's how we affect that carbon of submitting ourselves to Hashem. One more point, it says that Rosh Hashanah prepares for Yom Kippur. L'dovid Hashem Ori is Rosh Hashanah, Shemeir Asaderech L'Yom HaKippur. It lights the way to Yom Kippur. What is Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros of Rosh Hashanah have to do with Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, we're going to have to come and confess our sins. In order really to confess a sin, you have to know three things. This is Sfarno says in Parshas Vayelech. And we echo that in the Al-Chet that we say. Al-Chet Shechotano Lifanecho. We say it over and over again. The sin which we sinned before you. Three things. First of all, who did the sin? We did. What am I capable of doing? And is a sin normal for me? Or is it something that's an aberration? So you have to appreciate who you are. Because if you're not capable of doing anything good, you're just capable of doing things bad. So big deal. But if I'm capable of much more, then the sin is a terrible thing. Because I was potentially could have done much better, and look what I did. So I have to know who I am in order to really appreciate how bad a sin is from my standpoint. Then, who did I sin against? The Ribbono Shel Olam. The more I appreciate God, the more I appreciate how terrible the sin is as a rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. The less I appreciate God, the less the sin is. So I have to know, Al-Chayit Shechatanu Lifanecha. And before all of that, I have to know what's a sin. Because if I don't recognize what's a sin, I don't know what's a sin and what's not a sin, then I can't know that I sinned or I sinned before God. I didn't sin at all. So you have to know what the sin is. And in order to do that, you have to know what God expects from you. What's the relationship? Then you can know what the sin is. You have to know who you are, and you have to know who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. That's what you got in Rosh Hashanah. Through Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, you got an understanding of who you are, who the Ribbono Shel Olam is, and what your relationship is. In that way, you were able to submit yourself to Him. You're also able now to look and see what's a sin, who sinned, and who you sinned against. And that's what Yom Kippur is all about. So in that respect, Rosh Hashanah lights the way to Yom Kippur.